Good morning, everyone. No response. I try again. Good morning, everyone. Good, everybody wake up. I have been sharing about Christian growth. Last time I talked about Lord Jesus wants disciples. Not just people coming to attend meeting. Not just people, young people, brought by their parents and sit here, not coming from their own free will. Jesus wants disciples. Now, what is a disciple in your words? Can you tell me? Lyndon, you want to tell me?
A follower of Jesus.
A follower of Jesus. Well done. I Googled it, tried to find a definition. Some people say it's a follower or a student. But today there are many people learning things not from a teacher. I learn cooking from YouTube. So I don't need a teacher. I can read recipe, isn't it? But a disciple is not learning from a book. A disciple is learning from a master. A relationship. Okay? So it's not, when Jesus wants disciples, he wants people to build up a relationship with him. So how many Christians are here? Can you put up your hand? Higher? So good. That means all of you should have, not the one who put up your hand, have a relationship, knowing Jesus. But how is your relationship with him? This is what I'm concerned with. So let's talk about what we have shared so far. Last time we talked about in the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse 6 to 7. After we are baptized, saved, received him. In Colossians it's talked about we should walk in him. Rooted, you know, get our foundation, and we can grow up in him, build up in him. So Christian growth has to build up in him. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So it's always about your interaction with him. Remember last time I talked about, remember when we read the gospel, all the disciples, whenever they have questions, they come before him. People challenge the disciples. Should we pay tax, temple tax? They come and ask the Lord. They have questions, they come before the Lord. And the Lord will teach them. When they have the wrong idea, the Lord will correct them. When they don't know how to pray, Lord, teach us how to pray. The Lord taught them how to pray. And they were hungry. The Lord feeding the 5,000. So when the Lord is with them, the Lord always see all the interaction disciples with the Lord. They ask the Lord questions. The Lord corrected their mistakes. The Lord taught them how to pray. When they are hungry, they are in fear, in the storm. The Lord come forward, calm the storm. The Lord is their support. The Lord lead them. Where should we go? They just follow the Lord. The Lord has the schedule. And when they have opportunity, they sit and listen to the Lord. You see, this is the life of disciples. Always related to him, to him, to him. So asking about disciples talks about when we immediately think about their relationship with the Lord. Just like when you talk about a student, immediately you think about the teacher and how they interact with one another, each other. So this is the life of disciples. So after this, when I ask you, go home, experience your daily lives. When you have problem, talk to the Lord. In the past week, did the Lord corrected something you have done wrong? Can you hear Him? Did the Lord speak to you? Now, I'm talking to the Christians right here. So you are not yet a Christian. You can just, wow, is it true? The Lord can speak to these people? Yes, it's true. So we are continuing, as a Christian, we are continuing having communicate with our Lord. This is the normal Christian life I'm talking about. Not just coming on Sunday, spending 1 hour sitting here, and go home and totally forget about him. This is not disciple. The disciple I'm talking about is as if daily, when you wake up, you can hear him. When you walk to school, you want to talk to him. I remember when I was in uni, when I was walking on crossing a field, my heart think of a song and I sing the song. I wave my hand as I'm singing, walking alone. A sister was on a bus, drove the bus. She saw me waving my hand, walking alone. She was wondering, is Paul going crazy? Why was he so happy? I was happy because the Lord was with me. So, if you are a true Christian, you should experience this. The Lord speaks to you. This is what you should experience. Now, if you ask a Christian, what makes you so different from other people? I am not, when I think, look back, I'm not much difference to my friends. Someone are stronger than me, smarter than me, very successful in their career. What makes me different to them? The only difference is that I have the Lord in my life. So in the past, when the people in Israel, when they are, Moses took them out from Egypt, and in the wilderness they sinned, and the Lord was angry with the people, and said, "Because you are so sinful, I'm not going with you. I've sent an angel to guide you." The Lord was angry, and actually, the Lord is testing to see the response of Moses as well. Then he said to him, Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us?" So Moses, he pleaded to the Lord, "What makes us different is that we have your presence." So you can imagine 2 million people in the wilderness. What makes them different is not an angel. It's not they are powerful. It's not what they have got. They have gone through the Red Sea. It's the Lord is with them. The Lord is with them. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So we shall be separate from all the people, is that we have the presence of the Lord. So when you accepted Christ, for those who are not yet Christians, listen. What makes you different one day is that when you accepted Christ, Christ come into your life. And this makes you different in God's sight. That will change your life. That will change your future. Heaven or hell, where are you going? That life makes the difference. The presence of the Lord makes all the difference. So, now I hope everyone see, it's not what we do here. There's one word, one sentence. I wonder if you have heard it before. There's no spiritual work, but spiritual man. There is no spiritual work, but spiritual man. What does it mean? This is a very meaningful, important sentence. No spiritual work? What is spiritual work? Immediately, we may think of, oh, the priest, when they are doing sacrifices in the temple, they dress well. When he is fully dressed, killing the offering in the Lord, he's doing a spiritual work. Whereas maybe a mother or father or someone doing chores at home, this is no spiritual work. This is secular work. Or when I'm working at home studying, this is secular, doing worldly things. But when I come to the meeting, when I do the breaking of bread, or when I'm singing in the choir, or when I'm preaching, or when I'm praying, these are holy work. So in our mind, there's something called spiritual work. That guy, he's a priest. That is, we call him reverend. We call him bishop. The Pope, these people have a special status. These are holy people. What they do is spiritual work. So what you study at home, it can't be spiritual work. Helping mother to vacuuming the floor, not spiritual work. Doing cooking for the family, not spiritual work. Father taking care of a sick son, not spiritual work. No. There is no spiritual work, but spiritual man. That means even though when you are a priest doing offering in the temple, in God's eye, he may reject you. Why? Because you are unclean before him. Remember in the days of Jesus, there are many priests, so-called prophets. They have doing the spiritual work. I speak for God. I'm killing the animal in the temple, as if they are holy. But God rejected these people. Not even they are standing in the temple, dressed as a priest, killing the animal. Oh, they are doing spiritual work. God hates this. Because this man doing all this out of their own self, they gained glory for themselves. They gained benefits, money for themselves. God hates, because not their work is the problem, that person is the problem. But if you are a spiritual man, that is when you are with God and you are living under his presence, you always fear him, follow him, love him, you are connected to him, then you are the spiritual man. You may be vacuuming the floor. God likes you. You may be doing homework, studying, and struggling in your homework. God's presence will be with you. Remember David? Even though he was in the wilderness, looking after the sheep, he can experience God's blessing and presence with him. Even though the bear and the lion comes, he fought with this. He is doing a secular work, doing chores at home. But God is pleased with him because he has a heart towards God. So what a disciple is not that what you are doing in the weekdays, but is how is your relationship with him that makes you spiritual. You may be studying in front of him, makes you spiritual. You may be working, your mind fully think about your work, but you know you're working for him, for his glory. Not for promoting yourself, but being faithful to the God, to God. Then you are the spiritual man. You may not have a title. Oh, he's a leader. Oh, he's a priest. He's a Bible scholar. You may not have such title, but such title, such work may not be pleasing in God's eye. Is your relationship, in the end, is your relationship with the Lord. Not because you play the piano for the congregation. Not because you sing in the choir, in the church, makes you spiritual. There may be a better singer than you. There may be some people playing piano much better than you, but God does not please them. You may not be perfect. You may be weak. You may be young. But when you are living under His presence, you do everything for Him, living before Him, listen to Him, corrected by Him, taught by Him. Your relationship with Him makes you a true disciple. And this is what God wants. Oh, I'm baptized, happy. So I just come Sunday, sitting here for some time and bye-bye. And totally forget about Him in weekdays. You may have a status, but you have no relationship with Him. And God wants a living relationship. But I have a good relationship with Him in the past. He wants a living relationship today. Are you walking closer with Him? The Lord wants us to serve Him. When you are walking close with God, your life would be different. Look at here in Luke 4:32. And they were astonished at Jesus' teaching, for His word was with authority. Many Pharisees, Bible scholar teachers, they teach spiritual work, but His life is empty. Not with God's presence, but Jesus, because of His relationship with the Father, His words have authority. That makes the difference. Many Bible teachers, but some, when they have relationship with the Lord, their words have life. Their words have power, have authority. And we need this in our ministry. Not just people give you a title, not just people give you a role. Unless you are truly living before the Lord, otherwise, you are just like a trumpet making sounds, but no power in it. Jesus' life was closely communicated with His Father. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing." Because previously, Jesus healed a man. Now Jesus says something. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in the like manner. So He followed His Father, Heavenly Father. How can He follow? He sees the Father do. Can you see this? As if He has X-ray eye. He has spiritual eye. Everybody cannot see the Father, but Jesus can see the Father. And He can see the Father wants Him to heal that person. When He sees the Father, then He followed the way of His Father. Now let me ask you, can you see the work of God? Can you see His hand in your daily life? I have accepted Christ. But He is silent. I have accepted Christ, but I can't see God. Not literally. If you are a genuine Christian, if you have experienced Christ in your life, you should be able, in your spiritual eye, you can see Him. You can hear him. John 5:30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That means you can see Jesus here as if he can hear some message from heaven. So Jesus, he got special eyes. Jesus got special ears. He can hear the Father as he is talking, walking on earth. So as we Christians, when you go to school, when you talk to friends, sometimes you say something wrong. Can you hear the Lord speaking to you? Can you see his hands guiding you, stopping you, protecting you? You know, I drive a lot. Whenever something happened, oh, thank God, God protected me. I can hear, I can feel, I can see his protection. Can you? Are you having a living relationship with God? Is God real? Is God a living God to you? What makes Christian different is we have a living God with us. Not I come to the meeting. I have a living God, day by day, with me. Do you have a living God with you? When the Lord called us to be his disciples, he called us to follow him. He will ask us to do something. But so often the young people will say, I'm too young. It's not my turn. How about the older people? Why did Paul ask me to pray in the breaking of bread? I'm too young. Let the others, older Christians, do. If they don't do, why would I do? I'm too young. Now, of course, this is an excuse. One day, if you come before the Lord, why don't you? Maybe today is the right time. God asks you, why don't you do this? Don't tell me I am too young. Jeremiah, one of the prophets, he came to the Lord. Actually, the Lord spoke to him, called him to serve him. And what is his response to the calling of God? And the God was talked to Jeremiah like this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Brothers and sisters, I may not know you that well, but the Lord knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. He separated you to serve him. He separated Tim. He separated Jessica, Rebecca, Grace, Alex, Caleb. He separated you to serve him. In here, I ordained you a prophet to the nation. A prophet is someone who speaks for the Lord. Then said I, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to pray. I trembled. People look at me, what do they think about me? You see, he faced the same situation. I am a youth. For those who join the youth group, you are in this category. Jeremiah say, I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. You shall speak. Youth or not is not the problem. When the Lord command you, you shall speak. So I would rather, the young people here, listen to God. Not just I push you to do something. Yes, I try to push you, but I push you to him. Ask him to give you a song. Ask him what you should share. Ask him how you should pray. Ask him how to help each other. Ask him. I'm not asking you to repeat what I say to you. I'm pushing you to Him so that you listen to Him. This is first question. The second part is, I don't know what to say. Isn't that a problem? Isaiah chapter 50, for God has spoken to another prophet, Isaiah. In here it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak. Oh, how to speak. The Lord teach you how to speak. I don't know what to say. The Lord will tell you. The tongue of the learned. You will learn how to speak for Him. Not necessarily like a preacher. Speaking, sharing a sermon for an hour. No. Maybe the Lord give you only one sentence. Remember in the book of Jonah, the Lord gave the message to Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. The city will be destroyed in 40 days. Now, how long will it take? 1 minute. 1 minute message is 1 minute message. Don't extend it to 40 minutes. When the Lord gives you 1 minute message, one sentence message, be faithful. Deliver that message. Don't add, don't subtract anything from that message. The Lord will teach you how to speak. If you are faithful with one sentence, the Lord may give you two sentences. And the Lord may give you more. But how can I learn how to speak? First, a word in season to Him. To speak why? Not to show off how good you can speak. In season to Him who is weary. That means some people, they need help. And the Lord sends you, use the words to help these people. A purpose. So not for you to boast, but for you to help those who are weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. So before you know how to speak, just like the little children, how do they learn how to talk? By listening first. When I teach my younger daughter, I'll talk to her. Daddy! I try to teach her to call me daddy. Daddy. Da. Da. She's trying very hard. Daddy. So I called her daddy maybe 1,000 times before she can repeat daddy to me. When she say daddy, oh, I'm so joyful. Finally, she calls me daddy. But I have to tell her daddy 1,000 times. So before we learn how to speak, we have to learn how to listen. Listen, not suddenly you can distinguish His voice. You have to learn to listen morning by morning. That's why we Christians need to spend time with God. Listen to His words. When you read Bible, it's not just scanning, collecting data. When you read the Bible, you are listening. A father talking to you from his heart. And you use your heart to accept and listen. This is the message of your Father. When you receive the message, day by day, you can start to distinguish, this is my Father's voice. I hear Him. So before you say 10 words, you may listen to 1,000 words, 10,000 words. So morning by morning, get used to know Him. If you never read Bible, how can you hear God's voice to you? If you have never reading God's words, how can you have something good to help others? If I ask you to come out, share something, oh, I've got nothing to say. Of course, you have to come before Him morning by morning, listen. And He may give you the words. Not to say something. Not to say, oh, I can say something, Paul, I've done it. Look, other people, I have done my part. Now it's your turn. I finished my part. No, not a duty, not something to accomplish. You say something, is when you say something, your heart is on the weary one. I have a lot of chance to preach to people. When I look at them, there's a burning in my heart. I want to save their soul. I'm not thinking how they look at me, how they appreciate my talk or not. I want to save. So your heart, grabs your heart. So we need to hear before we can speak. You don't know what to say? Go before Him. Listen to Him. Come before Him. Day by day, He will give you your words. The Lord has opened my ear. Now, if the Lord opened your ear, what is your response? Sure. Isaiah, he said, I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Now, this is a very important phrase as well. When God spoke to you, share this. No. You turn away. Share this. No. I want to share something different. I want to share something remarkable. Not this. When God spoke to you, open your ears. What is your response? And I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Okay, now come to another part. Being a disciple, come before the Lord. Don't say you are young. Don't say you don't know what to say. The Lord will teach you. But whenever people trying to follow the Lord, something almost immediately will come up. What is that? I'm unclean. I sin. I've done the wrong thing. And in your guilty conscience, there's a guilty conscience before the Lord. Oh, I've done something wrong. How can I serve you? How can I follow you? So if you remember the book in the Bible, Exodus, talking about how God delivered the people out of Egypt. The next book is what? Leviticus. Leviticus talk about all the offering. How people can be cleansed by their sin before the Lord. Speaks of redemption of God. So when God starts to call people to follow with Him, He has to cleanse them with Jesus' blood. Yes, I have sinned, but Jesus' blood cleansed all our sin. If we are unclean, we can't serve Him. If you don't want to follow the Lord, you don't mind the sinning before Him. But once you start to want to follow Him, all this temptation, all these trials come, you fail and you fail miserably before the Lord. So this problem of I'm unclean, how can we solve this? In Isaiah, when the Lord first appeared to him, then Isaiah immediately realized he's unclean. So when the Lord called you to serve him, immediately you may think of, oh, I just quarreled with my brother. Or I've been fighting with my other sibling. How can I serve the Lord? Oh no, I'm so sinful. The Lord will hate me. Immediately, this may come into your mind. But in here, look at what Isaiah, how did he feel? Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Now I'm sure Isaiah won't cursing people around all day. Okay? But still, when you come before a holy, perfect God, he realized his lips is not clean. You may not speak dirty words, but not true words. May not come from a good heart. So immediately he felt he's so sinful because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So when you come before a holy God, immediately you feel you are undone, as he feels. Woe to me, I'm unclean. Can he do anything? He just said, oh, doom, I'm in doom. But God has done something. Then one of the seraphim, which is angel, seraphim is one kind of angel, flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said. Now at that time, they don't have a clear view of redemption. But the coal from the altar speaks of cleansing power, burned away all the sin. So the coal speaks of God can cleanse his sin. So this, God has a way to clean our mouth, to clean our hearts by his redemption, by Jesus' redemption on the cross, which is like the altar. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. So God cleansed him for Isaiah to serve him. Now this is at the beginning of when God called Isaiah. It's in chapter 6. And after this cleaning, Isaiah keeps on serving the Lord. He wrote a long passage in the Bible. The longest book in the Bible, 66 chapters. So you can see, when he just started to serve the Lord, he immediately realized he is sinful. So as disciples, when we try to walk close with God, immediately God will point out the sin in our life. And we need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all this sin in order we can continue to follow him, to serve him, to live a meaningful life. After cleaning, then he did not say, oh, thank you, God, it's done, I'm fine, I'm clean, finally, bye-bye. No. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will go? What did he say? Here am I, send me. He came forward. After cleaning, I just want to stay clean. No, I come forward to serve you. This is disciples. Not just being cleansed by the blood. Cleansed by the blood so that I can come forward to serve you. Similar situation in the book of Zechariah. Then he showed me, Joshua, in a vision, God showed him Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. The garments speaks of our work, what we have done. Filthy. So when you truly examine someone's life, what he has done, a lot of filthy thing there. And he was standing before the angel. He's the priest. How can he serve the Lord? Again, this speaks of when the Lord wants us to serve him, we were unclean. But we can't do anything about it. Only the Lord can do something about it. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, take away the filthy garments from him. And to take, he said, see, I've removed iniquity from you. God do it by himself. We know how he did it by Jesus Christ died on the cross to cleanse us. And I will clothe you with rich robes so that we can fulfill our duty, so that we can serve him. That when our Lord take away your sin, why? It's so that we can come forward to serve him. Oh, I'm clean. I'm forgiven. Yay! I can live a forgive. I can sin again. No way. When God saved you, cleansed you, so we can serve Him, live a meaningful life, purposeful life. So these are in the Old Testament. How about in the New Testament? In the New Testament, it says, if we, this is in 1 John. John is telling believers, if we confess our sins. So back home today, you may have done, you may do something wrong. You may say something wrong. You may think of something wrong. We may sin. We are easily following our flesh and we will stumble in our sin. But the Lord tells us if we confess our sin, He is faithful. Not because He has a good mood today, then He will forgive us. A bad mood tomorrow, He won't forgive us. No. He is faithful. That means He's trustworthy. When He makes a promise, He will keep it. It's according to His faithfulness. That means He always keeps His promise. So no matter what I have done, when I come before the Lord, Lord, You are faithful. You will always keep Your promise. And just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And everything that is unrighteous before Him, He will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So disciples, such an exciting message. Easily we will stumble in sin, especially when you try to follow the Lord. You will become the prime target for Satan. I want to make him sin. I want to let him discourage. I want to let him being addicted to a lot of things so you won't have a life to serve the Lord. Satan will try all his tricks to stop you, to drag you down so that you will waste your life struggling with sin. No. Not by our heart struggling, but whenever we come before him, we confess our sin, he cleanses us. Let me ask you, if you walk along the road and suddenly you stumble and fall into a pit with mud inside, what would you do, Jessica?
I would try to get out of it.
You climb out and then what?
Clean
yourself. And what would then you do? You cry for 2 days? 2 weeks? 2 hours? 2 years? You clean yourself and keep on your journey, isn't it? Now, if you fall in the pit again, what would you do?
I would climb out and clean myself.
Oh, again! What a fool I am! Oh. Cry two years? No, you just clean yourself and continue your journey, isn't it? So yes, we stumble. But our Father in heaven wants us to, okay, learn a lesson. Don't stumble. Try not to stumble. But if you stumble, come up, clean yourself, and continue to follow me. It's that simple, isn't it? So don't waste your time crying all day unless you truly repent. Okay? Now, how can I walk in him? Now, instead of always, oh, there are traps here, oh, there are pits here, try to avoid. We are not trying, our life is not just, whole life is just trying to avoiding all these traps, sinful temptation. No, we have to, my life is not avoiding something. My life has a goal. To follow him, to follow the Spirit. In Romans 8, 4:5, it says that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. If we follow the flesh, we will stumble and fall. But coming back according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit. So you focus on following the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So look at here. Set their minds. What do you set their minds? On the flesh or on the Spirit? You know, when you try to ride a bicycle, you are not trying to, oh, there's a rock here. Try to avoiding. And you easily lose your balance, isn't it? Because you're trying to turn like this. You are not just looking here. You look focusing forward. And that will help you to keep your balance. So when we think about looking, following the Spirit, doing things to please God, serve Him, glorify Him, exalting Him, then you will not set your mind on the other thing. What would people think of me? I have so many excuses. What if I make a mistake? Serving God? I have so many difficulties right now. So when you're talking about serving God, you think about all these difficulties around you. That will be your stumbling block. When you want to follow the Spirit, set your mind on the Spirit. What would God like? How can I serve Him? How do I please Him? Thinking of the positive thing. So this is the beneficial way of being a disciple. So in concluding what I share today, being a disciple is you have a close relationship with the Lord. Always come before Him. You can listen to Him if you listen. And He will teach you what to share and speak to help the weary. So I suppose all Christians here are disciples. So I have an assignment for you this week. Aha, the challenges come. Next week it's a chance for the Christians to share. So if you are not Christians, sorry, you can only listen. You can only envy. Wow, what kind of privileged life they have. Now you share, each Christians here can come forward and share at least 2 minutes to 5 minutes. Of course, we'll let the young one have their chance first. Aha. I will say maybe Tim will come first. And then following Rebecca, Lyndon, and Jessica. And then everybody else. I'll let the young one come first. Okay? What do they share? Now listen. You can start with a sentence like this. My God is real. You can put a verb here, action. What did He do for you in the past week? And then you tell us a little bit more about what happened. So why would we do that? Not to show off. But we want to tell those who are not yet Christians, we want to show them our God is real. He's real in my life. You want to testify what a living God. How He corrected you, how He helped you, how He comforted you. He's real. He's living in my life. So every Christians, be ready. Include you, Moses. Get ready next week. Come early to share your testimony. Alex is going to say, of course, Grace won't be here next week, isn't it? Oh, you missed that. Maybe I should give you a chance first. Okay, so all Christians, get ready to testify a living God in your life. Now, if I ask you to do this, I should set an example. So I'm now doing an example. I'm telling you, next week, young people may come up like this. Now I'm doing for example. But this is real, what I experienced this week. My God is real. He taught me how to comfort my dad before he passed away. My dad passed away 6 days ago. He was so sick, so weak. So the family gathered, and I asked myself, Lord, he's leaving soon. What can I tell him? What would comfort him before he leaves? And the Lord told me, taught me. So I come before him. Actually, I shared with all my family members. I told my daughters, talk to granddad. When I come forward to my dad, I say, Dad, I thank you. You have been a great dad. You have given us a very happy childhood. Thanks to you, I know you struggled very hard for us. I want to say thank you to you. And I ask him, can you hear me? If you hear me, blink your eye. He blinked his eyes. We appreciate you have been a great dad. You have set us a good example. We are proud of you, Dad. And I see tears come up in his eyes. I was so grateful. If I don't have this chance, I would regret. But now I have no regret. My dad has been walking before God faithfully his whole life. And I have a chance to tell him truly from my heart, I appreciate you. You have been a blessing to the whole family. So I reckoned he's living in peace. So do I. I have no regret. The Lord has taught me how to talk to him, to comfort my dad in his last journey. So after 1 or 2 days, he passed away. And he's now with the Lord. The whole family is comforted, knowing that he's with the Lord now. So this is such a different. His life is a good testimony. Even his death is a testimony of God's grace and mercy. So I'm sharing to you, my God is real. So many people pass away and their families never have a chance to say, thank you. We appreciate what you have done for us. And there's always regret. Oh, I wish I can tell him face to face. I won't have this regret, thank God, because the Lord helped me to give me this chance. So dear friends, the Lord will teach you. My God is real. He taught me how to comfort my dad before he passed away. So next week, young people, if you say you are true Christian disciples, the Lord speaks to you, tell us what he commands you, you say. It's that simple. Okay, so coming this week, open your ears before the Lord. He may teach you to say something to comfort others. We are saying this to help those who are not yet believers so that they can see our God is real. Some of them may say, I don't believe God at all. Show me God. I can't bring out God, but God is living in my life. So for their sake, all Christians, get ready next week. For the people you love, do it. The Lord will give you your words. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. You are a living God. Teach us to walk closely with you. Open our ears so we can hear you. We can see you in our lives. And teach us and guide us day by day. We pray that we'll be faithful and follow you. We thank you that whenever we are struggling with sin, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us so that we can come to follow you again. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.